Now, imagine that it's 1982 and you're a cash-strapped Turkish film producer who wants to make a sci-fi epic to match the success of George Lucas's Star Wars. What do you do? Well, Çetin İnanç came up with a novel solution. Bribe a cinema night watchman, borrow a print of Star Wars, make a duplicate in the middle of the night, and then cut out all the space battles and insert them into your own picture.
Dünyalılara yardım ettiniz. Cezanızı çekeceksiniz.
Some of the madness of Dünyayı Kurtaran Adam, which means the man who saved the world, but is better known as the Turkish Star Wars. The film scholar and new generation thinker Ian Smith has studied this bizarre example of movie piracy and is here to tell us about it ahead of screenings in Glasgow and London of a newly restored version of the picture. Now, Ian, I just want you to describe the imagery.
What we find in Dünyayı Kurtaran Adam is, so Çetin İnanç, yeah, takes a print, he's cut it into his own film, and so you get the lead actor, Kunyet Erkin, wearing a motorcycle helmet, while back projected behind him are clips from Star Wars, and so he's kind of flying his spaceship, and then you then cut to a little clip of X-Wings and TIE Fighters, then back to him flying his spaceship. And so the film then adds music from Indiana Jones, Flash Gordon, even Battlestar Galactica. So it really doesn't pay any attention to copyright law at all.
There's a bizarre and hallucinatory quality to the imagery it actually builds for itself to cut in with all of this stuff. These characters are attaching rocks to their ankles and jumping around in order to escape the forces of gravity. They're fighting these red, furry, yeti-type creatures and mummies. I felt like I'd taken something watching this. Perhaps the audience did too. Does Turkish history help explain this? A military coup had happened quite recently. International copyright laws clearly weren't being enforced. Was this something that could only happen beyond the surveillance of Hollywood?
So yeah, in Turkey in the 1970s, Turkey was actually the third biggest film industry in the world. It was producing 300 films a year, but a huge proportion of them were rip-offs and remakes of Hollywood films that are Turkish versions of The Exorcist, of Spider-Man, of Batman. In fact, there's a film called Uçtuv Adam, which is Captain America teaming up with Santo, the Mexican wrestler, doing battle with an evil Spider-Man who kind of runs a smuggling operation in Istanbul. So there were a huge number of films that were borrowing elements from Hollywood without paying any kind of licensing or copyright. But I think one of the reasons that Dünyayı Kurtaran Adam is so notorious is that it's not just taking the costumes and the characters and the plots from these films, but actual physical footage from the film itself. I think that's part of what gives it such an amazing kind of delirious viewing experience.
Now, was that delirium shared by its original audience in Turkey? Did they know that they were getting a sort of Samizdat under the counter version of Star Wars? Would it have bothered them?
Actually, there's a few scholars who have looked into this. So there's a scholar, Nezi Erdogan, who's kind of looked into audiences at the time who kind of treated it as a fun family film. It was actually relatively successful. It bought the director an Alfa Romeo. This was a hit in Turkey at the time. But then about 15 years later, by the time you're in the kind of late 90s, it starts to become a cult hit. And it starts to build up a reputation as being the kind of worst film of all time. So like, this is Turkey's entry into comparison with Plan 9 from Outer Space from Ed Wood or Tommy Wiseau's The Room. Like, this is the Turkish worst film of all time.
But what a strange journey it's had culturally, this sort of act of theft, of passing off in Turkey, that then achieves cult status outside Turkey, but now is being elevated. I mean, there's a digital restoration of this film. Presumably, Lucasfilm is cool about all of this, or maybe we'll find out that it isn't when it actually screens. And for years, it was thought lost, wasn't it? You might think that Lucasfilm would be quite happy to see it stay lost. What's their attitude?
That is a very good question. Yeah, because Lucasfilm have been kind of famously litigious in the past with certain films that have used clips from Star Wars or have used any kind of footage, even fan films for a long time, got into trouble. This film has never had any legal problem. Lucasfilm have never sued the filmmakers in Turkey. But you're right that it's become elevated to some extent. In fact, my university, King's College London, are the ones who were paying for this 2K digital scan and restoration. So it is now becoming, and I'm working with the Yunus Emre Institute, who are a Turkish cultural centre in London. So we're working with very kind of respectable partners to bring this so-called worst film of all time into a much more kind of higher plane.
Well, into the academic plane. Is the academic interest in this? Because it, it answers an area that you study. Your book, The Hollywood Meme, considers how ideas and images have spread from Hollywood across the world. Is it just because it's a really good example of that, that there's a scholarly interest in it?
Well, I think that's a big part of it. And in many ways, this is the kind of the holy grail of this phenomenon that I've talked about as being remixploitation, the kind of international reworkings of Hollywood cinema that we get all around the world, the series of Bond films made in the Philippines, the Bollywood remakes of everything from Memento through to Reservoir Dogs. But I think the Turkish industry is the one that's most notorious for the ways in which it kind of has reworked Hollywood cinema all throughout the 60s, 70s and into the early 80s. And I think part of what's interesting is what it tells us about processes of globalization, the ways in which American popular culture has kind of dominated over other cultures all throughout from the mid-20th century onwards. And what we find in these films is how are these industries coping with that? These struggling popular film industries that don't have many resources, don't have huge budgets at their disposal. So what do they make use of, the kind of dominant Hollywood hegemony? And so part of what we find in these films is how they rework and remodel and adapt these works to suit the kind of local culture and the local historical moment.
Thanks very much, Ian Smith. And Dünyayı Kurtaran Adam, better known as the Turkish Star Wars, will be screened on May the 4th, obviously, at the Cinema Museum in London and the Centre for Contemporary Arts in Glasgow.